Okay, Trevor and Patrick, thanks for joining me today. We'll just jump right into the questions here. From your perspective, and either of you feel free to chime in at any time, why is this such a big breakthrough for the industry?
Okay. Patrick Fleming, Director of Retail Marketing for the National Pork Board. Really, when you think, this is the first major revamp of IRMIS in 40 years. So 1973 was when IRMIS was first adopted, and a lot's changed in the industry in the last 40 years. I mean, 73, beef came in on rails, pork came in wrapped in pink paper. And so this was really the first attempt to go back and change a system that was designed really for back-of-house to a more consumer-friendly system that will help consumers understand names and terminology and make it easier on them.
And this is Trevor Amon, Director of Market Intelligence for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And, you know, our research has really been consumer-focused. Like Patrick said, you know, we wanted to keep the core benefits of the IRMIS system and nomenclature system intact, but we really wanted to focus on what the consumer feels about how meat cuts are labeled. And what we learned through our research, through multiple studies, is that consumers are confused about fresh meat cuts, and they really have a limited number of cuts, you know, on average 3 to 4 cuts that they're most familiar with preparing at home. And the reasons they're confused with the current nomenclature system, some of them tend to be long and have unappealing names and lack consistency across different channels. So this really presents a really great opportunity and marketing potential to drive meat department sales by helping those consumers feel confident in their cooking and, you know, clearly understand how to navigate the meat case.
Trevor, you bring up a great point, you know, that consumers were clearly confused about cuts of meat and, you know, still are, whether it be naming or how to cook, things like that. But did NCBA or Patrick, the Pork Board, even find that consumers were necessarily asking for this particular solution, for a change to the IRMIS nomenclature system? Or is this just something the industry had to kind of figure out and take upon itself?
No, we found this, you know, we've been hearing this same topic for many years, but in this particular project, this IRMIS revamp, the very first round of consumer research, we heard it loud and clear that, you know, that one item on the entire package of meat, when you look at just the name of the cut, there's a lot of confusing things and unfamiliarity, and they're really looking for short and concise, you know, 2 to 3 words, simple and easy to recognize and remember. So yeah, we definitely feel it's been driven by the consumer.
Okay. So how does industry and your organization specifically ease consumers into what is now a new set of names? I know, Patrick, you said it's, you know, been 40 years since the names were changed, but you know, over those 40 years, there's been new cuts, there's been new varieties, new different value added cuts and things like that that the consumer has had to get used to. How do you guys prevent the consumers from just kind of throwing up their hands and saying, ah, what is all this new stuff, you know, all these new name cuts? How do you guys go about doing that and making sure the consumers get what's going on and you know, follow along, I guess?
Well, I think the simplest thing is really we've elevated the common name to the first line on the label. And then, you know, the secondary characteristic species, primal, that kind of thing, moves to the second line. So that first line, the largest line, is what consumers will read. And that will have descriptors that are more commonly found on restaurant menus, things like that. So, you know, we'll have some consistency between what they see at food service, what they see in the weekly ads, and then, of course, it'll now match what's on label. So simplifying the terms, like bringing the common names out front, like porterhouse or ribeye or T-bone, things that consumers always have known and have always been friendly. We're uncluttering the nomenclature. We're not putting a species and then a primal before the cut. The cut just moves up to their front line. So I think a lot of it is helping consumers identify the basic cut that they're already familiar with, simplifying that primary name. I think that'll be one of the biggest launching points. I think then also establishing a common name platform allows us to provide consumers with names that are memorable and unique without necessarily being anatomically based. I mean, every cut will still have a unique name. Every cut will still go to a specific primal or subprimal. Every name has a unique cut, just like Hermes currently does. But putting a more friendly consumer face on, I think, will help them remember the cuts long term.
And there's going to be some crossover between species now. Like, there's going to be similar cuts in pork as there are in beef, where in terms of the name anyway, right? Or am I misunderstanding that?
No, I mean, pork is going to adopt some of the beef nomenclature, especially for the loin. So porterhouse, ribeye, T-bone will be coming into the pork nomenclature. And that's because, you know, anatomically, it's the same piece. It comes from the same primal or subprimal. It's the same muscles. Mm-hmm. It's just two different animals. The cut is similar. I mean, obviously, pork is going to be smaller than beef just from carcass size. Mm-hmm. But the eating experience, the concept should be the same. So consumers won't have to learn two different anatomy sets. Pork has tried to align where it makes sense with some of the beef nomenclature, just because that should make it easier for consumers to understand what we're talking about. A porterhouse is a porterhouse, whether it comes from a pig or whether it comes from a cow.
Okay. Trevor, did you have anything to add to that, or to add to the consumer, you know, getting them, easing them in?
No, I mean, I would just reaffirm everything that Patrick said. You know, it is really just a way to align those consumer-friendly common names up to the top and highlight it and give them that short and concise label to that cut. And over time, I think they will just continue to be more comfortable with it and help them shop the meat case.
Okay. So do you guys think this solves the problem once and for all, or is there still, I mean, obviously nothing's ever perfect, but and there's always work that can be done on some things, but what work remains, in terms of, you know, revamping the system? What's left to do, and can you shed some light on the next steps from your perspective?
Yeah, the IRMIS system will continue to see refinements and additions as, you know, new meat cuts are introduced. There's constant innovation in the meat case, and it's our job to stay ahead of it. As far as some of the next steps will go, the system still has to go through ICMISC for review and approval before it's officially adopted and ready to implement in stores. And that conference call is actually coming up soon, and I'll let Patrick talk about that.
Yep. Our final conference call, the approval conference call will be March 27th with the ICMISC, which is the industry committee for meat identification standards. Mm-hmm. Once they have the final approval, we have the commitment from USDA that this will replace IRMIS. This will be the updated version of IRMIS, and they USDA, both AMS and FSIS, will start using it as a guideline for label approval and in their normal work, especially on case ready. So that's the next step. I think we're also going to go back and look at, now that once we have the final names approved, I think in the next year or two, we're going to work on making sure we have the Spanish language translation for the new nomenclature, just because as that becomes a bigger segment in the marketplace, you know, from a commodity organization perspective, from cattlemen and pork, it's nice that we handle the standard names. That way there's no issues. But I think Hispanic translation will probably be one of the things we work on next.
Okay. And then once it gets approval, does it hit the marketplace? Is there a buffer of any type once USDA, FSIS start using it? Will it hit the market at that point, or is it going to be a phase-in kind of thing, or is there a buffer period? What happens then?
Go ahead, Patrick.
No, go ahead, Trevor.
Well, you know, following the final approval here at the end of March, all of the files and data files and new common names and line two characteristic files, the best preparation method info, all of that information will be available on meattrack.com, and that's really the industry's resource for nomenclature in the IRMA system. So, you know, we anticipate, you know, those early adopters that really take the initiative to implement the program, you could hopefully see this in store as early as this summer. And, you know, they're all going to vary in terms of implementation timelines and, you know, their different scale systems. But, you know, it'll be available and ready in April of this year.
Okay. So from what you guys have heard, how have processors reacted to this? Or has it been more of a reaction at the retail meat case amongst the retail folks? What has been the reaction, and who do you think is going to end up driving this? Is it going to be retail or processors or kind of a mix of the two?
Well, we throughout the entire process, we had an advisory group of retailers, packers, processors, you know, the trade organizations, and other industry experts and partners from the supply chain. And we also had one-on-one visits with retailers to discuss all the details of implementation and anticipate any potential challenges they might face with the new system. I can say since we officially started sharing details at the annual meat conference earlier this month, we've had a lot of positive feedback and, you know, really praise for a sort of overdue change to the IRMA system because of the fact that it is so focused on the consumer, and we really think that's where the opportunity is to help educate the consumer, and with the end result increasing, you know, sales through the meat department. So because we went through that process and really had a lot of discussions with other industry experts, we really feel that it's easy and effective to implement across the majority of retailers.
Patrick, anything to add there, or did Trevor quantify it and qualify it well enough?
He did a really good job. we're in the open comment period right now.
Sure.
That we announced at AME conference, and so far, you know, people have the support has been really amazing. The comments are almost all positive. Sure, there are some people that make comments specifically on individual names, that kind of stuff, which is what we were expecting. That's why it's out there for the public comment period, make sure we didn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the response from the packer, the retailers, the industry in general is it's about time, and we should have done this years ago. There's some a lot of excitement around this program, and most people just want to know when can they start. So implementation, we're hoping, should be good this year.
Outstanding. Anything else we didn't cover that on this topic that you wanted to bring up, either of you? Any angle we didn't hit upon that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, this is Trevor. I just wanted to mention again the resource, meattrack.com.
Yes.
We also went through entire new website design, and there's a great wholesale cut application, a web application where the industry can go on and find everything, all the information they need to know about the different cuts and their new common names and their different characteristics and cutting methods and basically anything they need to help them implement the program and understand the IRMIS platform moving forward. So a great resource, meattrack.com.